Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is a Webtoon Wednesday episode, and today we're going to be talking about a Webtoon strip called Soul on Hold. I have the creator, Austin Marie, joining me. Austin, thanks for joining.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you on. I really enjoyed the strip. It's a relatively new strip, and we're going to get into some of the details on what the strip is all about. But before we get to that, I always like to ask people when they come on for the first time sort of about their secret origin, so to speak, their history with comics, deciding to become a creator, and maybe some previous work. So let's start there. Did you grow up a comic fan? Were comics a part of your childhood?
Yeah, I mean, besides falling into a radioactive vat as a baby with, like, a box of Crayolas, I was pretty into art from the beginning. But I always loved comics. I actually was obsessed with the Pokemon comics growing up, and that was, like, what originally got me into drawing. It was, like, that and Sailor Moon.
Now, from an early age, when you were so invested in, and loved these stories and pictures and especially always drawing, was that desire to be a creator and create something on your own, especially from a visual standpoint, was that desire sort of always there?
I think so, because I was always just like, I would consume things and I just wanted more. Like, I was quite greedy because I'm like, this is great. I want to know more. I would like read all of my dad's Far Side books and Calvin and Hobbes. And then I would read these like Pokemon comics and, you know, play the video games and stuff. And I was like, okay, I'm going to create my own Pokemon world with new Pokemon. Like, I would always like make up my own stories and draw things and have backstories for characters since I was very, very young.
So was there a particular moment in time where you realized, okay, I'm really going to do this, or did it just happen like without you putting out effort? Like, what was your creative journey, so to speak?
I mean, well, I think there was a point where I started, like, just with art in general, I started getting paid when I was younger to draw things. But there was always this desire of, like, ooh, I want to do comics, but they're really hard and I'm scared. So I never ended up doing them until much, much, much later in, like, my art career. But I started doing like little doodle ones every once in a while. And then like my first really big project that I did was with, an ex-partner of mine, and we teamed up together and drew a comic. I drew it, he wrote it. So that was kind of fun. It was a lot of work though.
And then at what point did you kind of stumble across Webtoon and realize that it was the right place for you to be?
Oh, Webtoon was it was more of a recent, like maybe in the last 2.5 years or so. And it was really what gave me the push to actually start Soul on Hold properly, because it was a story that I've had for about a decade now. Yeah, I think I was like 18 when I started writing it. And it's gotten a lot better since I was 18. But I discovered Webtoon just by kind of like bopping around, and I saw a few titles on there, like Lore Olympus before it was a Webtoon original, and a few others, and I'm like, this is really great. This isn't as intimidating as having to do a page of comics and, you know, plan out pages. I can just do it more of a storyboard style, and it felt right, so I just started doing the original version of Soul on Hold.
Yeah, and I think that's a good transition to sort of give everybody an idea of what the Soul on Hold strip is all about.
Yeah, it is. I'm trying to get like a real good tagline, which isn't here yet, but you know, we're baby steps in this comic journey. But it's essentially about a guy named Aiden, and his life is a mess. He thinks that he is crazy. And then due to a series of very strange and supernatural events, he finds out he's not actually crazy. He's just possessed by a demon, but he is going to die in 30 days.
Yeah. And what is it that makes him think that he's insane, basically, or hallucinating?
He hears a voice in his head, and it just is a very mean and horrible voice, and it's constantly annoying him. And he has a scar on his face that no one else can see. So he's basically been gaslighting himself for the last 10 years.
And in terms of genre, because you know, not that you necessarily have to put a label on it, but when I was reading it, I mean, he is possessed, as you said, by a demon. So there is that supernatural feel, but it didn't necessarily come across as horror, you know, at least not early on. There's not, you know, a ton of suspense. And there's also some hints of maybe a possible relationship that Aiden may have with another one of the main characters. So I got some romance vibes. For you as the creator, do you have a particular genre in mind that you would classify it as, or do you not want it to necessarily have a label like that?
I think I would use supernatural as a catch-all, but it definitely is like supernatural romance. But I think supernatural, when I think of it, I think of, you know, other things that follow in that genre, and it's like drama, it's comedy, it's a lot of things that I think supernatural is like daily life and whatnot, but, you know, with ghosts and ghouls and demons and oh my, you know?
Yeah, and you did mention you've been working on it for quite a while. So can you give us some background on how the, you know, the seed of the story started and kind of how it developed over time, and maybe what inspired you to tell the story?
Yeah, actually, it was kind of funny. Back in the old DeviantArt days, like the DeviantArt heydays, there's art jams that would happen a lot, and people would do comics, and they would have their characters like fight each other or interact, and it was a really cool collaborative time on the internet. And I was like, okay, I'm going to jump in on this. I'm going to do some comics, but I got to make a character who can fight. And all my characters were like cute girls at the time, and not that cute girls can't fight, but I'm like, I'm going to make like a dude I don't mind getting beat up. And so I designed Aiden, and I gave him like these very silly powers at the time, and I never ended up using him. And I just kept thinking about him, and I'm like, man, what's his deal? Like, what's going on? And I kind of built this entire story around him, based on just like a whim drawing, because I wanted to be a part of the cool kids on DeviantArt.
And so starting from that sort of, I guess, visual side of it, was it more of a challenge to come up with like the story and the plot lines, or once you got sort of the world and the characters sort of out graphically, did the rest of it sort of fall in place, or do you have to work at it?
I mean, I'm gonna like show behind the curtain here, but it's always hard to write for me for any kind of storyline, even when I know where it's headed. But it's gotten easier the more I just like jump into it now. But I think the hardest thing wasn't really creating the story, wasn't really anything like that, because I can always be like, oh, this is their crazy backstory, or this is this. But it was actually just doing it. I know that sounds kind of cheesy, but actually like sitting down and being like, all right, where do we actually start? Where does this page go? What is going to happen on the page? How are they going to speak? Like, doing that was the hardest part, but it was more like the deciding to do it versus actually doing it. Actually doing it is actually kind of easy, but it's just that like crazy fear of like, oh my God, I'm going to start a comic now. Okay, I better commit. It has to be great, which, spoiler alert, it doesn't have to be amazing. You'll get better and better as time goes. But I think that was the biggest like scary thing about it.
Yeah, that's true. It's always, you know, taking that first step onto the path, and then I think as you learn, it gets easier as you go along. I am curious, being that you come at it more from the visual side of it, the artistic side of it, and you know, as you said, once you get started, it has become easier over time. But one thing I find interesting is sort of this idea of fate, or you know, you're destined to do something and you can't necessarily get around it. It seems to be one of the themes you're exploring. But as not necessarily considering yourself a writer first, right? You're definitely more of an artist first. Do you think about themes that you want to explore, or ideas that you want to explore in the story, or does that just happen sort of organically as the stories and characters develop?
It's a little bit of both, almost. I'm not going to say like, oh, stories magically come to me, but I'll get these stories in my head, and the way my brain works, I kind of think about it, and I'm like, where did that come from? You know, like, what part of my brain created this? And it is really, it comes down to like, write what you know, that old saying. And I realize that even though I might not be completely aware of it at first, I was writing these stories and like storylines based on really basically things that happened in my own life or things that I have dealt with or just things that friends have dealt with, you know, just things I've experienced firsthand, but with like a supernatural twist to it and just made it, you know, something that was otherworldly, but really they're all based in real life issues, like real life trauma, real life hurt, real life feeling lost, you know, things like that. But, you know, it took me a bit to realize that I was just writing what I knew, but as a fantasy supernatural genre, basically.
Well, it's interesting to hear you say that because, you know, again, write what you know, or, you know, pull from your own life experiences and such. You mentioned when talking about the story, that Aiden's found out that he has this demon and then maybe connected with somebody else who may have more information about it than he does. And one of those things that they let Aiden know is that, you know, his time is limited, right? It's people that have been afflicted with this for whatever reason are going to die, you know, pretty quickly. And Aiden finds out he has a very short time. You know, not that he necessarily believes everything that is going on, but I wanted to ask you as their creator, what if you found out that you only had a month to live? What would you do? And is that going to inform the story? Are you pulling from any of your experiences that way?
I think if I was basing it entirely on what I would do, it would just be like 40 pages of Aiden eating like top of the line sushi and just racking up that credit card debt. You know what I'm saying? But no, he won't just eat really, really expensive sushi in Los Angeles for the 30 days straight. But I would make sure my cats were set up, and then, you know, I would really, truly just eat sushi because it's so good.
No, you're getting no argument for me on that one. I that's a pretty good answer. Way to spend your last 30 days eating some quality sushi for sure.
I mean, it's decadent. I know a great chef in LA. Like, I know what to do. You know, I've got my plan. We're all good.
But it does bring me to my next point, which is, you know, despite the fact that you didn't set out to, well, I'm going to explore this, you know, great big idea of, you know, the human condition and what it means to face our own mortality. But it is an aspect of the story, and I imagine you're going to touch on it more and more. And it's one of those aspects of the story that certainly gives all of us, probably those of us that are a little older, even more of a relatable touchstone to the story. You know, I find that, you know, I'm in my mid-40s now, and I think way more about the fact that I may be closer to the end of my life than I, you know, am to the beginning now. So I think it's something that we all can relate to.
Yeah, I mean, minus like the, you know, being possessed by a demon bit, it is a pretty relatable thing. I did write it when I was 18, so I had 30 as like this big scary number. Right. And now I'm 28, and I'm like, oh, 30 is like not a big deal anymore. But yeah, I mean, like, I want to kind of follow along the line of, while being an entertaining, kind of goofy, supernatural, whatever story, like, what do we ultimately want from life? If we want to get, you know, a little deep about it, like, what is it that you want? And everyone has a different answer to that, but I know my answer, and that's going to be portrayed in the comic.
Yeah. And what you want out of life may change as time goes on. And certainly in the case of Aiden, all of a sudden what you want out of life, if that window gets shortened, if your timeline gets shortened, that might change as well. Something to think about. Now, is Aiden the character that you identify the most with in the story?
I identify with both Aiden and the female protagonist Maggie equally. They are kind of either sides of my personality, so I really like writing them. And it wasn't until recently, and I'm not ashamed to admit it, but I am slightly embarrassed. I didn't realize that their initials are my initials. So like, I'm Austin Marie and they're Aiden and Maggie. So that only clicked like legitimately like a month ago when I was driving and I just laughed at myself for a good 45 minutes. So yeah, they're more part of me than I originally intended.
Well, so far we've talked about some of the, you know, the themes and the motivations for the characters. But I also wanted to talk about the world that you've established. We get kind of thrown in to really character first, which I think is great, because you've got to care about the characters in order to be invested in the story. So we haven't gotten a lot of detail yet on sort of the background, like how did this possession happen? What is the kind of the world these demons live in? Are they, you know, from a reality, different universe, that kind of thing? Will we be learning more about that? And was it a challenge to build out the mythology for the story?
You definitely will be learning more. We won't dive right into Aiden eating expensive sushi immediately. Otherwise, it'll be a very short series. But no, you'll definitely learn more about that. I kind of like the idea of being like, hey, here's what's going on, because this timeline is a lot more... it's quicker paced than the original version that I made, and I like this more because you feel the pressure of, hey, this dude only has 30 days to live. And so you're kind of like, what is going on? Because he doesn't know what's going on, and everyone's kind of trying to figure it out. And I'm, you know, trying to leave the trail of breadcrumbs, but there'll be some larger bread chunks along the way, so the readers won't be totally, totally in the dark.
Now, do you find that to be a challenge, the fact that you set this up with sort of this finite timeline? I mean, it seems like it's caught on relatively quickly, but it's almost like, barring unforeseen rescue, there's an ending.
I mean, there's an ending to everything. That's my very vague, like, I'm not going to give any details answer. But we all have our ending.
All right, fair enough. I did also want to ask about the scar, because that really intrigued me. Because we don't find out right away that, because we can, as readers, we can see the scar. And we don't necessarily find out, you know, immediately that not everybody can see it. And it's one of the triggers for Maggie and Aiden, when they kind of realize they have this, you know, they have things in common, let's say. So where did the idea for that come about?
I always thought it would be interesting to have something that is so a part of your physical appearance, and it almost lingers on the idea of what body dysmorphia is, where you see yourself in a certain way, but no one else sees you that way. Mm-hmm. And how that can be like a really big struggle for someone. And so if someone else sees what you can see, be it, you know, negative or positive, you almost get this like rush of validation, and you have this moment of, okay, even though I don't know you, I trust you because you see this thing that everyone told me didn't exist. And I like, and that kind of, it validates the character, but also makes them a little bit wary, because they're like, okay, wait, are you real? Are you not? And I think by having a life where you're like gaslighted essentially by everyone around you, although they don't see it, so they don't know what you're talking about, you're just struggling with, okay, am I just insane? And so when someone's finally like, hey, that's a cool scar on your face, you're like, oh my God, someone actually sees me for me. So it's playing on that. And I also, you know, I like the idea of two somewhat strangers like bonding on something that is such a serious topic for one of them. So it's a good little hook, if I do say so myself.
Yeah, it was definitely a cool moment in the story when it happened. Tell us a little bit about your creative process. How do you go about creating a strip? What's I mean, do you always do it the same way? Like, walk us through it.
I mean, it's like a lot of crying. No, I'm just kidding. I usually I'll write out a few episodes. I'll get these bursts of like, ooh, I want this to happen, and I'll write out a scene, and then I kind of flesh it out around there, and then I flesh it back towards where the story is. And so I'll write out a couple episodes at a time in these bursts. And then I will thumbnail an episode. So I'll just do really, really loose sketches that my poor editor has to decipher. We even have like a number code, so I don't have to write out any of the script. So I'll draw like a bubble and put like a 4 in it, and she has to go over and like read it on the script next to the 4, you know? It's very messy and very hectic, and I'm very, very happy that she puts up with me, because my creative process is a nightmare. And then she edits it for me, and then she sends it back, and I just go through the inking and the coloring and all that, and I kind of try to do one thing every day But then I'm always thinking of, you know, the next episode in my head. So if I have some downtime, I'm like, okay, how is this one going to go? Where are we putting it? What scene is this? You know, where's the story going to go? And then sometimes, recently I thought of an episode that I really wanted to do that's pretty far in the future. And I wrote down that entire episode like frantically on a notebook. So it's kind of whenever it shows up, it's a big burst and I do as much as I can.
So do you find that there are parts of the process that are more of a challenge that take longer than others?
Backgrounds are truly awful things. but no, there's like, it honestly just depends because some days I'll have days where I'm like, I can draw so well. I am doing the best that I've ever done. Look at these color choices. I'm a genius. Everything's flowing. And then there's days that I'm like, I have drawn Aiden's face 400 times this episode, and now I don't know what his face looks like anymore, and I can't draw it. And then I decide that I'm going to quit comics and, you know, move far, far away. But usually I'll pull through after taking a little bit of a break or eating or something.
That sounds like sort of the graphic equivalent of when you say a word over and over and over so many times that it starts sounding weird and you're not saying
it. Yes. It's 100% that, except it's like with muscle memory. And I found that with times like that, the best thing you can do instead of powering through it is just go take a break, go do something else, play, you know, Nintendo Switch or whatever you need to do just to like clear your brain.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Let's talk a little bit about the platform itself. What are your thoughts as a creator about the Webtoon platform?
I mean, I'm biased, but I love it. I truly love it, bias or not. I, as just someone who was on their Canvas section, it was so cool. I had like a built-in audience. You know, I was learning and I was kind of stumbling along the way, but everyone was really sweet. And I had so many more eyes on my content, and like, that's not something that's new for me. I was an online entertainer before and now I'm doing comics, but, it was so interesting to see so many people show up, and especially with, you know, the folks at Webtoon, they really care. I haven't experienced that a lot with companies, so it's kind of still shocking that they like know who I am and know what I make and they all read it. It's very weird actually, in the best way. And, so when they decided to like kind of promo Soul on Hold in its early days, I went from having like 11,000 on my own of like subscribers to within a week 100,000. And that was the moment where I went, oh, okay, there's something here for sure. Like, if they support us at this amount, I don't know any other companies that are supporting artists like this, like this intensely. I want in on this because this is amazing. And that just gave me the drive to like work so much harder, you know? And it was just a really good feeling where I'm like, okay, I'm not just posting to the void and hoping for the best. Like, people are actually interested in this.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think one of the things I love about it is the fact that, you know, it's generating content that the end user gets for free, but they still are paying a competitive page rate to all the creators. So it's one of the best things about the model. But there are challenges for any creator, whether you're working in traditional, you know, print or working on Webtoons digital. And it does come with some inherent challenges, whether that be, you know, deadline or other things. So we always want to make sure that we are letting anybody aspiring creators out there kind of give them the knowledge beforehand of some of the challenges so they know how to prepare. So for you, when you were starting, what were some of the challenges that you faced and how did you sort of overcome them?
I mean, once I moved to Originals, so after I signed the contract with them and moved on, because if you're posting for yourself, you set your own schedule. People will complain, but do your own thing, take it your own time, you know, especially if it's not your full-time job, just take your time. But one of the best advice pieces that I got from another Webtoon artist who was already on the original section was, Austin, take your time. And I was like, but I want to launch soon. They're like, no, take your time, build up a buffer. And I think truly that is great, great advice on so many things, not just, you know, Webtoon specific, but there's this whole like desire to rush things because you want to get like the dopamine hit of people commenting and liking and having it out there. But life is weird and weird things happen and you never know what's happening. So the fact that I have had like a few weeks of buffer time, I am not crazy stressed out. I'm not like, oh gosh, I have to finish an episode, you know, but my arm hurts because I overworked because I'm rushing, you know? So I'm avoiding injury. I'm doing it at a relaxed but very steady pace. So I'm able to meet my deadlines. And it truly was worth waiting because I signed a contract in March and we didn't launch until August. So it was definitely a solid wait, especially for, you know, webcomics. But it was probably one of the best things I did, was just slow and steady, take breaks, and take care of myself.
Yeah, that's good advice. You know, if you kill yourself making a strip, you're going to burn yourself out. And then, you know, all of a sudden the strip is not around anymore. It's not sustainable.
Yeah, I mean, it's even if you have to take time off and take a hiatus, that's so much better. Like a mild disappointment in like the short term is so much better than, you know, losing the love for it mostly as a creator, because that's something that happens a lot where, you know, creators work so hard, they burn themselves out and then they end up, you know, hating their projects. And I'm still very, very much in love with Soul on Hold. And I'm, you know, doing it in a normal manner where I'm not hurting myself. I'm not getting drawing injuries. I have clear times to start and stop for work. And it's great. I'm super happy about it.
Wow, that's really cool. It's, I tell you, time management is something that if you're a comic creator,
oh yeah,
yeah, it's paramount for sure. You mentioned the built-in audience, and it's one of the things that's great about Webtoon. Whether you're on what's the Canvas side now or on the featured side, there are literally millions of people going there a month to check it out, read strips or subscribe to, discover new strips. You know, you have that built in, and with that comes sort of the fan community and the fan interaction. How have you found it, that interaction with fans, sort of that immediate feedback of when a strip drops? How's it been for you?
I mean, they're so much funnier than I am. Like, they're truly hilarious. Like, I'll read some of the comments, and I'll sneak in, like, I sneaked in, well, didn't really sneak. I just put it in very blatantly. The had to do it to him wearing white after Labor Day meme, but I just made Aiden in that had to do it to him pose, which is just like a dumb, dumb idea that came from me being like, I don't know how to pose him for this. Oh, I'll just make him a meme, you know? And people were playing off that in the comments, and it was so good. But then some other people have been referencing, some of my favorite podcasts, which I don't think they know the connection with me, but in some of the newer episodes, they were referencing The Adventure Zone, which is a great D&D podcast. So I was having a good cackle at that, but God, they're funny. They really, truly are. So I think a lot of the commenters should have their own strips, because I have a great time reading the comments usually. There are a few that I'm like, all right, get out of here. But on the whole, they're pretty dang funny.
Yeah, I find it to be a really positive place. I mean, as much as the internet can be a bastion of negativity, the fan community at Webtoon, they definitely, I mean, if they don't like something, they'll let you know. But I think it comes
with
constructive criticism most times.
Sometimes just criticism, you know?
Yeah, sometimes.
That's okay.
And the other thing is, I know that I know there have been creators who have sort of changed, not change the story, but change their path. Like, they know, you know, when a big certain event in the story is going to happen, and based on feedback from the readers, they've changed the path to get to their next big kind of milestone in the series. I think it's interesting. I think it's a challenge, and I think it's unique to Webtoon because it is so instantaneous and so interactive.
Yeah, to touch on that, actually, I had a really, really good chunk of advice that I'd be happy to share with everyone. My dear friend Dan Slott, an amazing writer for Marvel, like, he basically grew up at Marvel. He is born and bred a Marvel man. You know, he's written Spider-Man is what he's most known for, and Iron Man and Fantastic Four and basically everything. But he told me, he said, Austin, all of my best episodes came from when I didn't read the comments, or at least when I didn't change anything for the audience. And I thought that was like amazing. I was like, gosh, it's so true, especially when we're online all the time. It's so hard not to be influenced by that. But I think really, truly sticking to your guns on your story, like, you know what it's going to be. Even if people figure it out, that's fine. Like, you don't have to win every single one. But I think truly sticking to your story and, you know, just believing in yourself, ultimately, you're going to have the best story that you can have because you're the creator.
Yeah, 100%. Like, belief in yourself is paramount. And I think that comes kind of brings us back to what we were saying earlier, where it's tough to start, right? It's tough to have that confidence to put yourself out there because you're worried about maybe people won't like it. But I will say this, if you never take the chance, then I guarantee no one will ever like it because no one will ever see it.
It's true. And also, like, you can always go back and redo things. If you don't like something, I mean, the original Soul on Hold doesn't exist on the internet anymore, but it was a hot mess. And now it's a lot cleaner and nice because I have an editor. But, you know, I had to start somewhere.
Yeah, it's true. It's definitely true. Everybody has to start somewhere. So the thing you need to keep in mind is just do it. Like, start. So,
yes, even if you can't draw, like, just do weird doodles and make characters because ultimately, it doesn't matter what the art looks like. It doesn't matter what font you're using. As long as it's readable and you're telling a story, you're going to get better as you go. And people like everything. It doesn't need to be like, you know, high fashion, you know, anime style. You can just draw stick figures. You know, it all works out.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, we all love story. That's why Webtoon exists. That's why comics exist, movies, TV. We all love story. We can all relate to it. We each have our own story. So, you know, put something out there and take a chance.
Absolutely.
Well, I know that deadline is ever looming, so I don't want to keep you too long, Austin. But we'll give you the chance here as we close up. Anything else you want to add, say to any of your readers or fans who are listening?
I just want to say thanks to everyone who's been reading it. I hope they love it. If you're new to it, come check it out. And if you want to start your own comic or your own webtoon or, you know, what have you, just do it and don't worry about how you do it. If you want to draw it one way for 1 week and draw it another way another week, that's fine. Explore, figure it out. You don't owe anyone anything. Just do what makes you feel good and create that story.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with that. It's good advice. Just, you know, like we said, take a chance, take a plunge. Don't forget to build up build up a little cushion like Austin did before she started. That's good advice as well.
Oh, yeah, the buffer. But that's after you start getting paid for it. Otherwise, just do it when you want to do it, you know?
Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%. So as we wrap up here, Austin, social media, if anybody wants to reach out for advice, sounds like you've had a good experience and you have a lot of good ideas and can help somebody who's looking to get started. And also anybody who wants to follow along to know when you have other projects and other things coming down the pipe. Where's the best place online to follow along with your work?
My main Twitter handle is usually the one that I'm on the most, and that is Austin Marie TV, just the letter T and the letter V. And then I do have an Instagram just for art stuff, and that's Austin Marie Art.
Great. And I'll put links to both of those social media accounts in the show notes, everybody. So you can go there, click, and find Austin's accounts very easily. So again, Austin, love the strip. Looking forward to seeing how it all turns out. And thanks again for joining me.
Thanks so much for having me. Great.
You can find the Comic Source Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting app you prefer. Please tell all your friends about us, subscribe, and rate us. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.